is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sake, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ. But you're...
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Cultish, entering the kingdom of the cults. My name is Jeremiah Roberts, one of the co-hosts here, and I'm here once again with Andrew, Super Sleuth Andrew, the Super Sleuth of the show. What is happening, dude?
Nothing, man. It's feeling good. It's on God right now.
Yes.
It's on God.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things are going on in the culture. Jesus is king. Kanye is preaching about and singing about Jesus and the gospel, and that's a big thing in the culture, and a lot of things are happening. So but there's something else going on right now that's kind of on the underbrink, but it's going to be surfacing. A lot of interesting things are going on right now in regards to the discussion about UFOs, aliens, all that sort of stuff. So we had an episode a while back earlier this year. We did a little crossover episode with Sheologians, Joy and Summer, and Pastor Jeff and I, and you were sleuthing in the background, but now with us here. We talked about two different topics in regards to the UFO discussion. We talked about crossing over to the other side, how the obsession with UFOs and always ties into the occult and tapping into the other side, like lucid dreaming, DMT and all that sorts of stuff. And then we talked about Bob Lazar, who is a celebrity kind of in the whole UFO community. We kind of talked about his whole story and the documentary. I think it's Bob Lazar, Area of UFOs in Area 51, who was directed by Jeremy Corbell. But what we're going to do today is that this is kind of an introductory kind of series that we're going to be following throughout next year, every couple months or when something significant develops. We're going to be following this whole phenomenon. There's something very, very interesting that's going on. But before I can, before I banter anymore, I want to introduce our guest who's on Cultish today, Colin Samuel. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So I'm super pumped to talk to you because just so everyone knows who you are, tell them just a little bit about yourself, who you are, and what are you all about?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a pastor and church planner in Reno, Nevada. With the RPCNA, that's the Covenanters. We planted a church here last summer. So we have a little church plant that's been growing that God has been blessing. But of course, the question comes up, what's this guy who's in the RPCNA doing, thinking about UFOs and the topics you just brought up?
Yes.
And so my background is actually related to this whole subject. I was not a person who was raised in a Christian home. I didn't know the gospel growing up, very secular. And towards the end of high school, I got, as you mentioned, as you guys said, into the occult, a lot of the drug culture, and then purposefully trying to, I think you describe it well, trying to contact the other side, right? Mm-hmm. I also, being raised in that mindset, very secular, very materialistic. The only thing, if there's anything weird about reality, the only thing I figured that was real was the subject of UFOs and aliens. Hmm. In fact, I, you know, as a young boy, had things like sleep paralysis, other things that kind of freaked me out. And then you see things on TV and you wonder, you know, if something's happening to you. Didn't take that too seriously. But when I got into the occult, then I had a lot of experiences, quite a few that were quite significant, you know, related to things like Joe Rogan, when he talks about DMT. I never did DMT, but I did mushrooms, which can produce similar effects. And so my background is I was into all of this stuff. And then I quit doing it. I wanted to walk away because I had some disturbing experiences. But the phenomenon wouldn't go away. I would still have sleep paralysis, these other things. Some out-of-body experiences similar to what Stephen Ben Carr has said when he was on your show.
Yeah.
And then eventually found the gospel, right? I got converted listening actually to Ray Comfort's Hell's Best Kept Secret, which I always think is hilarious because it's a sermon meant on how Christians are to evangelize unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
And here I was listening to it as an unbeliever and then came under conviction and repented of my sins and trusted in Christ. So my background is that, you know, I used to be in this world and I see this world becoming more and more mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that just on the side over the last couple of years I've been looking at and been quite surprised at a lot of the things that I'm seeing. It's almost hard to believe. It is hard to believe, but the stuff that's going on in the culture, like you mentioned, it is happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're so right now. I mean, especially just how much we are interconnected with each other. And so when you look at you know, us right now, like we're communicating, you know, how we're connected now, like via Facebook and all the content and information that's out on YouTube about this stuff. And even when it comes to getting information, like understanding, if you look up stuff on DMT or astral projection or people having UFO encounters, there's tons of people now right now telling their story. Whereas before you probably had to go to some weird fringe bookstore up in Sedona or somewhere like that. And now it's just so readily available.
Where they're wearing the pyramid hats. They're wearing the pyramid hats and meditating out on top of a rock.
Yeah. And so, but then it's like, it's really interesting too, man, is that, you know, I was just thinking about you and you're talking about like, why is a Presbyterian minister into that? And I just saw the picture of you yesterday. And your church, I mean, your culture is that you guys dress really nice. You're in a suit and tie and you're baptizing one of your babies. God bless you. And doing that. Yeah. And what's great though, is like,
just the right view.
Yes. Oh, yes.
No, we don't want to venture into that topic.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, believe me, whenever they have the guys in Cross Politic on, they always go back and forth on that, which is great. But the question, and I always think like, it's just funny seeing like contrasting that, and we might even post a picture of like who you are once we air this episode and so people kind of see that, but and you contrast that because I mean we're roughly the same age, we grew up around the same time, like comparing that with someone Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 that we're talking about, and now he has his band Angels and Airwaves. He has a company called To the Stars Academy, and we're gonna unravel that. It just seems people are like, what's the contrast between this Presbyterian minister interested in Tom DeLonge, and what's this all about? So maybe if you could just explain a little bit, maybe kind of introduce the topic of Tom DeLonge, like what got you intrigued with following him? Like, did you follow his music, or just tell me about your perspective on him and also To the Stars Academy.
Yeah. My interest in Tom DeLonge. Yeah. I mean, I used to follow Blink 182 back in the day. I mean, you know, I graduated in 2002. So that was kind of the heyday of Blink. You know, I was into skate culture. In fact, I just started skating with my son again. Brings back a lot of memories, but,
oh, that's awesome.
So I knew of him and you know, there was always rumors you heard that he was obsessed, right, with the subject. But back then that was nothing. Even when I got into that, I didn't think, oh, Tom DeLonge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I moved to California to go to seminary, I worked for a solar company that was based out of Silicon Valley. And I mentioned this in the blog article that we posted that. So I'm out here in Silicon Valley, cutting edge company, brilliant minds. And yet every time I try to have a religious discussion, aliens and UFOs are coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
like, even to the point where I had one when I used to go door to door in sales when I first started. I mean, the guy I'd always ride around with, he was talking about ancient aliens and saying he wanted to go up to Mount Shasta with me to, right? And he asked me, well, what about the Bible and all of this? And men that I respected, very intelligent. I mean, the type of guys that if you're in a meeting and you present something and it's shoddy, they'll tear you apart because they're really good at analyzing data. These types of minds believe in UFOs, believe they possibly created us, mm-hmm. think that's more likely than God, and that somehow this is all going to lead somewhere. So in that environment, you know, I started hearing, I worked with a lot of millennials. There was all this buzz about Tom DeLonge getting back together with Blink, and then it didn't happen. And then I heard something about him saying he was working with people inside the government to disclose UFOs. So, of course, you hear that from a punk rocker, and you're like, whatever, dude, right? I mean, we've seen celebrities go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs before, mm-hmm. Whether it's Shirley MacLaine or others.
Yeah, well, just real quickly, I know that Tom DeLonge, he's always had a fascination, though, with space and what is beyond us. I mean, just if you follow, when Angels and Airwaves came out, I was really into that band, and especially their second album. I'm trying to remember what the second album, just the artwork, and there was a film that came off of that called Love, which is all about this guy, and it kind of goes across many different time frames. It takes place, have you seen that movie?
I have not.
You
but
haven't.
I have explored a lot of his music with Angels and Airwaves. I like the sound. I mean, it's like a mix between Blink and U2.
Yes.
It seems like at times it's got kind of that progressive sound. And I've seen a lot of his music videos, but he has, correct me if I'm wrong, but he almost saw it as like a spiritual thing, that he was more on a spiritual journey when he went with Angels and Airwaves,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, you've just two of his albums, I Empire in 2007. You could just tell it was like this longing to find the spiritual significance into reaching out beyond. And even if you look at the album from that came out in 2011, there's a two-part album called Love Part 1 and Part 2. There's an astronaut hanging on a crescent moon. So he just, a lot of his artwork has always been about that. And I was just listening again to when he came on Rogan and just him talking about, you know, just his fascination in space and to explore that. So.
Yeah. And again, I didn't pay attention to him before that, but that's the impression I get, is he was always very drawn to this subject. What caught my attention was in 2015 when the WikiLeaks dump hit, and that was the whole thing that showed that the DNC was biased towards Hillary Clinton. We all remember that. Mm-hmm. And then they accused it of being a Russian hacker or whatever. But what came out with that, and there was some headlines, I think it was Drudge Report while I was at work one day, basically said, you know, Tom DeLonge emails with John Podesta about UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even go to WikiLeaks today, you type in DeLonge, and you can pull up these emails between him, John Podesta, who was both the chief of staff, I think, of Clinton, and also was with Obama. He also ran Hillary's campaign. And then General McClasland, who was the head of the Air Force R&D lab in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which in UFO lore, that's where they always say they sent the bodies and everything initially. So, of course, you see Tom DeLonge's talking about UFOs with this general, right, that gets some attention.
Yeah.
And he had also talked, I think, to a general from NORAD and Bill Weiss, who is the CEO of Lockheed Skunk Works, the guys that run Area 51, the R&D out there, things like the stealth fighter, F-35, all of that. And that's always been tied in with UFO lore. So, of course, that got everyone's attention, got my attention, because, you know, I knew what was credible and what wasn't credible based upon my past obsession with this subject.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see him saying he's working with these people to disclose, and then it turns out he is, I'm like, well, I should probably pay attention to what he's doing, especially in light of the conversations I've been having with my coworkers.
Yeah.
And so from there, I started listening. You know, I still to this day will spend a couple hours a week listening to podcasts or interviews or reading different books just to keep up, because I do think we're headed in this direction where this is becoming more and more mainstream. And he's a big part of, I mean, he is basically, the media is even saying he's the driving force behind it, as crazy as it sounds, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And so, like, one of the things, too, is that, and just so you guys know, too, by the time you're listening to this, there is a blog post that we actually have up at thecultishshow.com, and Colin, you actually put this together, and I want this to be kind of like a guidance to, for people to kind of listen into, and you've already given, like, a good introduction. So in it, you kind of, let's just talk about a couple points on that blog here, is that you talked about, and you kind of talked about already, but some of the reasons why we need to take this seriously. There's a lot going on. There's things that the Storm Area 51 that happened. We mentioned the movie Bob Lazar, Aliens and UFOs, Area 51. And just a lot of things are going on. But you talked about in reason number one, many Americans are now taking, and people all over the world to be exact, they're now taking this subject seriously, where before it was just for a bunch of fringe people in their basement or up in some weird woo-woo store up in Arizona trying to find it, trying to contact UFOs through vortexes and such. So talk about reason reason number one, if you can, on that blog.
Yeah. And the reason is exactly what you kind of outlined there, that more and more people are taking this seriously. In fact, in light of some of the, information drops that there have been in the last year that I'm sure we're going to touch on, there's actually a big discussion at the University of Maryland between, I think, two astronomers who said they were skeptical, but they were quite surprised by the news, and they did say it kind of changed the conversation. And then a reporter from Politico who broke one of the first stories on this subject. And then I think someone from the University of Maryland, he outright said, as someone from the university says, this is not the university's opinion, it's mine, but I believe this phenomenon's real. I don't know what's behind it, but, you know, we laughed at this for so long, and now we're finding out that there's something to it. But even apart from everything that's happened in the last year, if you really look at the way the culture has been going, even post-World War II, the statistics have always been that a large portion of Americans do believe there's other intelligent life out there. And a significant portion that's been growing believes that they're already here. And then as I put in the article, 68%, well, only 33% believe UFOs represent alien spacecraft. Which I believe you can think they're real and not believe that they're alien spacecraft, so that number could be larger of people who believe in UFOs. Almost 70% believe the government's hiding something pertaining to it. And so there's a certain appeal, and I think I cited this in the article, and this is a big voice in this conversation right now, this professor in North Carolina, Diana Pasulka. And she's a religious studies professor, and she's had a lot of contact with people around To the Stars. But she looks at it from a very objective perspective. Her most recent book, American Cosmic, published by Oxford. You know, they don't publish junk, right? And she came up with an idea that I think makes a lot of sense, that the reason why this appeals is because there's a potential reality to the phenomenon. So... you know, we're Christians, and praise God, you know, we presuppose the Bible's the word of God and that these historical events have happened in the past. And so in a large respect, what we believe is based upon a historical record. But we live in a culture that doesn't trust history, right? So all these people come with theories like that the New Testament borrowed from pagan religions, all this other nonsense. Because they're not well-versed in history, don't care about history. What the UFO phenomenon and the prospect of
Just real quickly. It totally reminds me of the movie quote at the very beginning of Braveheart, when they say, when he talks about history, and he says, you may say that I'm a liar, but as the saying goes, history is written by those who have hung heroes. So there's right. always people, a lot of times will view history through the presupposition that it's written by these secret societies who want to control the narrative of how to get you to think about everything. So a lot of times people will interpret every historical account through that regard.
Right. And you'll find that people who are drawn to this subject are often cut from that cloth. And the Da Vinci Code mainstreamed that idea, didn't it?
Right? Oh, yeah.
You know, 15. That was the first thing when I was converted. I believed in Da Vinci Code theories as a New Ager. And then when I was converted and then that book blew up, I'm like, what are you people doing? I just walked away from that stuff because it's crazy. And now you're all believing it. But anyways, we're skeptical of history, but as a society, we look forward to the future and we believe in basically unlimited technological progress. I mean, again, Silicon Valley is the center of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's a future, what she says, a potential reality to this phenomenon, in that you can respectably say, I believe they're out there, right? And one day we will contact them. But I don't necessarily believe it right now until I'm shown the evidence.
Yeah,
right. And so it's just a matter, they have the presupposition, mm-hmm. they don't have the evidence yet.
Yeah.
And so it's a respectable thing to believe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and I can totally see the appeal as well to, you know, an intellectual type of person and someone who would deny, or they state that they believe, they deny that, you know, the Bible and Christ as God. And I could see the appeal in the fact that if these extraterrestrial life forms exist, then it would give the rise to people denying the fact that sin exists. And it leads to a postmodern type of, you know, worldview in a sense. So it actually justifies, you know, all kinds of sinful activity, because there's really, if there is no God that's a just God, then literally they can do what they want, you know, unless this extraterrestrial type of entity comes and dictates to them face to face what the standards are if they're their creators, right? Like, there's got to be some type of appeal to that type of person, right?
Absolutely. I think freedom from responsibility, that would be a part of it, because, you know, if we're culturally relative on one planet, imagine how culturally relative we can be if there's trillions of planets, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then it's all just relative based upon how you evolve.
It's like Star
right?
Trek.
I think that's... What did you say?
It's like Star Trek, kind of.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%. I also think another part of this, too, is I think there are holes. Well, there are holes in evolutionary theory, but there's holes that the academy and even mainstream scientists are beginning to acknowledge. So if you have to at some point acknowledge intelligent design, but you still want to deny God, what's the best stand-in, right?
Yep.
But extraterrestrials.
Yep.
So it's another way that you can suppress the truth and unrighteousness, as Romans 1 says.
Exactly.
I think that's definitely a big part of it, for sure.
Yeah, and even what you talked about, and you'll see this in the blog post, when you talk about the, I'm just going to read this part of the blog, and you can expound upon it. And again, if you guys go to thecultistshow.com, you'll actually see this, and this is sort of like a kind of introductory guide, also not only to this podcast, but kind of really introducing this continued conversation we're going to be having, and I'm excited to see where this series goes, but also kind of where this whole discussion, the culture goes as well, too. But, you're talking about, I'll just quote it here, and this is under reason number one. It says, it is assumed that because we evolved as a species, then most likely many other species have evolved ahead of us. And so it is simply a matter of time before we make contact with them and learn from them. Think of it as a eschatology of a society built on evolutionary theory and intoxicated by technological process. And by all estimations, this certainly appears to be the worldview of many in our society.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could, Colin, can you just expand upon that blog, that part of the blog, and just tell you what made you think about that, or can you expand upon that?
Yeah, so again, a lot of that is just my own observations, as well as having read Diana Pasolka's book. She's a liberal Roman Catholic, so she's coming from a broadly, quote, Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the type of book you can read as a Christian and see right through and go, oh, I see what's going on here, right? So a lot of what she points to is the fact that it almost sounds like Beale in his book, We Become Like What We Worship, that we are surrounded by technology. We almost worship our technology. I mean, we have Google that wants to merge with technology, right? And so there's this idea that it's just going to go on forever to where we almost become godlike. I mean, Ray Kurzweil at Google says that. And so the idea is, well, someone else has probably gotten there before us. And, you know, it would jumpstart us in our progress if we were able to make some sort of contact with them. So whether that's through radio signals like what SETI does, or through, you know, the other more New Age occult things that you have talked about and I'm sure we're going to talk about. There's this desire, and it really, it's similar to Mormonism, to be honest, or Swedenborgianism, which is really the root of Mormonism, this idea that, you know, there's this eternal progress, right, that we can become like gods and that there's others who've gone ahead of us. It's almost like that thinking has permeated our culture. There's this term that I use there, religiosity, that I got from Dr. Pasulka. And I've used the term before, but religiosity is more of a mood rather than a specific set of doctrines that someone holds to. So most Americans don't attend the Unitarian Universalist Church, right? But many Americans believe things that the Unitarian Universalist Church teaches. Same thing, a lot of these ideas, whether it's coming from the UFO culture, UFO cults, or then even larger, similar cults like Mormonism and other things, people might not adhere to those dogmas or are members of those organizations, but they have permeated the culture and they've absorbed them. And so now it's part of how they think about the world, who we are, where we're going. And so it's just, again, it's the religiosity, it's the mood of where we're at right now in 2019. You know, as a culture.
Dang. So if you could sum up in about, let's say, 3 or 4 sentences from a biblical worldview, looking at man as a fallen creature, why would fallen man want to believe this instead of the Bible?
Because it goes back to the lie of Genesis 3, that you shall be as gods, that through your own works, through your own way of perfecting yourself, you can become self-sufficient, right? We can move on as a species and have peace and transcend, literally, you know, get off the planet and, you know, live in this Star Trek utopia. It's its own creation story, its own redemption story, its own eschatology, as I said. And it's all us realizing our own potential, maybe with the help of some others.
That's good.
Like happened in Genesis 3. Do it, you know.
It's like,
go my way and you'll become a god.
It's like technology becomes the mediator instead of Jesus Christ to free us from death, in a sense, to progress more. That's good.
Yeah, you said it.
Yeah, and it reminds me, even on our episode, one of our premiere episodes we did, kind of when we were in our infancy here at Cultish. It's almost been a year. We're recording this now. We're coming up on our year anniversary release, which is crazy.
Praise God.
But yeah, we did the episode. I don't know if you listened to Colin on the Church of AI and Anthony Lewandowski and that whole debacle, but nothing really ever became of that, but it was a really big article on Wired.com and people were talking about it, where there's this religious aspect just with the evolvement of AI and artificial intelligence or singularity, where eventually AI is going to surpass us.
Mm-hmm.
And almost this transcendent of trying to find spiritual meaning behind it. There were people that online were, I looked videos online when I was researching about the Church of AI. There were people who were talking about how to increase your karma so you could come back as a higher entity or as a fully evolved AI bot. once singularity had passed humanity, and we would now be in that consciousness. So people are taking their worldview and they're molding it into the evolvement of AI rather than seeing it. What is this actually instead of in contrast to the Christian worldview?
Right, right. Well, and it's almost like a fusion of New Age and Eastern philosophy with technology.
Mm. Yeah.
Is what that sounds like. Yeah, and that's a big part of this is, I think, some of those discussions as well, because it is an anthropological discussion that we're having as a culture, which is what happens when we create artificial intelligence that you is indistinguishable, at least in outward appearances, from an everyday human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does that mean? What does that say about us? I mean, technically, that would be alien life, right? Once it's, if it ever does get to that point, there are those who are skeptical that that's possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Christian doctrine of the image of God will really shine in that moment because what we believe about the image of God, that we were created in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness with dominion over the creatures, that we have a soul, this is what would separate us from a machine that imitates us, right? But again, the same thing goes, well, what does it say about us if we find intelligent life elsewhere in the universe? Are we therefore not unique? Or what does that mean, right?
Yeah, so I was going to ask you too. So, like, to the Stars Academy, like, what do they believe? Let's say that there's extra, like, let's make a difference real quick in regards to UFOs or what they could be. We could say extraterrestrial, which means they could live on another, you know, solar system somewhere out, maybe in some other galaxy, or there's also interdimensional beings. What's the difference, and what does To the Stars Academy believe? Like, what is the... Is there a mix going on?
Yeah,
are they starting to blend it, or
and just real quick, I think this kind of rolls into reason number two.
Yeah,
which is the government and media are taking this seriously, and I want to transition to kind of part two, and you guys can check out the blog at thecultistshow.com. But yes, expound more upon To the Stars Academy, because we're talking about Tom DeLonge. Explain how that ties into the media and what Andrew is talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. So. The best thing to do is to just tell the story of how this all came about, and then I think really to move on to show how they're doing what they said they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll take it one piece at a time. I'll try not to go too long, because some people, you know, it's going to get weird when you start talking about what happened with Tom and what's going on. I think it's a good thing right now that I'm not on video, because I'm sitting in my in-laws' trailer on the side of the house.
That's awesome.
Right, to be holed up from the kids, and people are like, what's this guy talking about? And he lives in a trailer.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is it? What is a pipe? What is a pipe-hitting Calvinist Presbyterian minister doing talking in a trailer, talking about Tom DeLonge from Blink 182 and how it's connected to the government, releasing information about UFOs and alien technology? I might even put that out to promote the show. Who knows? We'll see.
We'll see.
But anyways,
go for the shock value there.
Right.
You know, when I started digging in after I saw about the WikiLeaks, you know, following his story, you know, I really got my attention was captured once he started the company, and then when the article came out that I reference in the blog. But let's back up and look at the backstory. In the backstory, you can find it, some of Tom's old interviews with Coast to Coast, other places, his books. He's been very transparent, and his story stayed the same. 2014, he meets with a UFO researcher out in California who gives him all these videos about government testimony from pilots, other people who are credible government insiders. The same UFO researcher also believe you can contact them through consciousness. And so if you know anything, you mentioned this in your former podcast, this is most likely Stephen Greer. Mm. Stephen Greer did say he was talking to him in this time period.
Wow.
And then they went out in the desert and they practiced the techniques. And Tom went into his tent, nothing happened. And then he just said, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen around 3 a.m. because that's just when these things happen.
Mm.
And he says he woke up paralyzed and he just heard hundreds of voices outside. And he couldn't make it out. It was just, he could hear feet shuffling, hundreds of voices. He said he'd normally be terrified, but he just let it kind of take over. And then next thing he knew, it was the morning. And other people said when in the morning, the same thing happened to them. At that point, he says he got hooked. And then I think about a year after that, he started publicizing that he wanted to, through books and movies and documentaries, just tell the story about this phenomenon. And he does believe it's larger than just aliens from other planets, to answer Andrew's question, and we'll get there. And in that time period, he says an aerospace executive invited him to introduce him on the tarmac at some family event. So this was Bill Weiss that I mentioned earlier, that the WikiLeaks said he was talking to from Lockheed Skunk Works. And he said, I'll do it, but I want 5 minutes of your time in exchange for this. So basically he told him, I have an idea of documentaries and other books that will build up credibility with the youth and how they think about the military and military-industrial complex, because you have a really bad reputation with the youth. And so he said he's interested, I want to hear from you more. And so sometime later, as he's recounted, he then went to a SCIF, which is a secure or secret compartmented information facility, somewhere out in the desert, where he had to go through 4 levels of security. There was white noise in the hallway, so you couldn't hear the person's conversation a few feet from you. And he sits down with this aerospace executive, Bill Weiss, and 2 other intelligence officers. And he repitches the program, and they just start prodding him because he had a conspiracy website. He said, well, you want to build up our credibility. What about all this conspiracy stuff you dabble in? And then finally the subject of UFOs came up, and that's really what this project was about. And this executive said, we cannot be involved with anything related to this subject, mostly because there's never been any evidence that it actually exists. And Tom fired back saying, well, Edgar Mitchell, the 4th man to walk on the moon, and Stephen Greer out there telling the youth that it does, and you're lying. So you have a credibility issue. And then he said, can I have a moment with you without the other two here? And he basically said to him in private, I know the national security implications of this subject. My goal here is not to get information and leak it out. I really think that we can tell this story over many years in a way that the public can digest and that won't lead to blowback for you. And so he basically laid out his pitch for To the Stars Academy. And then this aerospace executive admitted that Bill Weiss, who most likely was, that yes, it's real, and said he thinks it could work. So he said, I'm going to get you in contact with someone. The next part of the narrative, as he tells it, is that he went and met the general in an airport restaurant. They flew to the airport just to meet in the restaurant and go their separate ways. This was most likely General McClasland from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And he immediately sat down, and this is where it's going to get weird. And so, again, I want to emphasize this is not what I'm saying, not necessarily what I believe. It's just what Tom says this general told him.
Yeah, and just also real quick, yeah, I just got to say, too, you've got to respect Tom for his persistency and hustle here for making this happen.
Right.
Because he kind of really had to take some risk and be persistent with these government officials to make this happen. So, I mean, I remember hearing about what you're talking about. I remember hearing Tom talk about this, and I was just like, wow, that's impressive. I mean, I don't agree with Tom's worldview, but I definitely was impressed and respect that. But go ahead with what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. I mean, anybody would want him as a CEO or on a C-level employee with a company. But, so this general basically said it was the middle of the Cold War. And every day, we really thought that there would be a nuclear war, that the world could end in a nuclear catastrophe. And at some point in those years, we came into contact with the UFO phenomenon. And the way we reacted to the phenomenon was all conditioned on what was going on in the world. In other words, the Cold War is why we covered it up and why we purposefully put out the idea it's something to make fun of and laugh at, right? Because we didn't want people talking about it and panicking. But it gets even more interesting because this general told him, he said, in that process, that we aren't certain that this is alien life. We have two terms that we call them. We call them gods with a little g, which is interesting, or yes. We call them the others. The reason why he said they call them gods with a little g, and he said you have to study Greek mythology, is because according to him, several times in the Cold War, these things had almost provoked us to go to war with Russia by either manipulating radar systems to make it look like we were attacking Russia. If you're familiar with that one case that Stephen Greer has brought out of the missile silos that were shut down in North Dakota, I think it's even been acknowledged that that happened, just not that it was connected to a UFO phenomenon. This general said on the other side, they were firing up the Russians' missiles against us, and as this general told Tom, there were heroes in Russia because they recognized what was going on and they shut it down. And so the reason why they came up with the term gods is because you look at the Greek mythology about all these gods who would provoke the different city-states to go to war, even just for entertainment, is why they came up with that label. But the other, he said, was just the others. Which again shows a bit of ambiguity. If everything that he said is true, as far as those who are in authority even knowing what this phenomenon is, just that it's been threatening at times, according to this general. So then he met with other generals. He says he went to NASA, and finally he was interrogated in a motel room outside of his house for several days. He said he could go home to sleep, but he had to come back, and it was someone from another intelligence agency, because he had been opening up his mouth on the radio about all this stuff, and they basically, you know, did the nice good cop thing, oh, Tom DeLonge, Blink-182, we love your music, and then quickly switched to bad cop. Okay, we need to know who you actually are and who are you talking to, because you shouldn't be out saying this kind of stuff. And so according to him, that he eventually resolved it with this group, and they communicated with the other people who were encouraging Tom to do this, and somehow the air got cleared. But when the WikiLeaks dump hit, all of these main original guys backed off because they said, no one can ever know we're talking to you. We'll give you information. We'll look at the books. We'll look at everything you're saying and guide you in what you should say and how you should say it. But we don't want people to know that you're working with us.
Yeah, Colin, and definitely what you're talking about with that WikiLeaks dump, it's just another example of how these things seem to be on the weird, seem to be on the fringe, and people are kind of, things are brushed aside and blown off. But once information like this becomes readily available, people realize this is something real that's going on. And ultimately, it's going to affect your worldview, because I think when a lot of this information does come out, in a sense, for the UFO community, or however people are going to interpret this evidence according to their worldview, in a sense, there's going to be like empty tomb evidence of UFO phenomena, that UFO phenomena, alien technology is real from everything that you're saying. And we have to be able to give an answer for that. And I'll just say one other thing, too. I remember, I think it was roughly 2 years ago when Tom DeLonge was on the Joe Rogan Experience talking about this. Everyone thought he was crazy, or there was just something going on, like where the porch lights were on, but is anyone really home? Like, is this guy who is one of the most popular bands in pop culture in the early 2000s, he's working with the government? Like, how crazy is that? And then it's confirmed, right?
Right. Yeah. And again, just to kind of sum it all up, it came out of an experience he had out there in the desert, and he wanted answers, right? He wanted to delve deeper into figuring out what the meaning is behind all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting conglomeration of forces. This punk rocker who has a spiritual experience with government people who apparently know something, or at the very least want something to be released to the public. So it sounds crazy, but it's definitely something to pay attention to for sure.
Yeah, man, most definitely. So what we're going to do here is that this is going to be part one of kind of the introductory to this discussion. And so, Colin, I appreciate you taking time away from your wife and your kids and hanging out in this trailer to talk to us.
Right.
You should do just, you got to post a picture of yourself inside of here just so people can see maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
So people get context and it's all fun stuff like that. Plus, I got to say too, man, you're in Nevada of all places. You live in Nevada of all places. Like, what's up with that?
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. Just a context. That's awesome. So we will talk to you guys more in part two of this discussion. And so go ahead, tell us what you thought about this episode. What do you think of the UFO phenomena? I'm sure if you folks have listened to our episodes on Bob Lazar and also Contacting the Other Side, this is kind of a continuation of that conversation. So we're super, super pumped to talk to you guys more about that. So go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you thought. Interact with our blog that we're going to be, and also our social media. Tell us what you thought of this episode. And as always, we are, there's a lot of work that goes into this show. So folks, we need your support. We cannot do the show without you. I know so many of you have been blessed by the show, have been impacted by the show. We just had our first sort of meet and greet at ReformCon, which was fantastic. And we're grateful for everyone who put that together. And we had so many people come up to us and talked about how they were blessed and just really impacted and they're really challenged by the show and they really appreciate it. But we have to have your support. A lot goes into this. So go to thecultistshow.com and click on the donate button and you can go ahead and contribute there to allow more programs and episodes and conversations like this to continue, because it can't continue without your support. So all that being said, thank you guys for listening. We'll talk to you guys in part two, where we talk to you more about Tom DeLonge to the Stars Academy and all things UFOs. Talk to you guys soon.